Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
If you have your Bibles, if you would open up with me tonight to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. With a message entitled, Do Not Worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, if you'd follow along with me, guys. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Will you pray with me, guys? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, even now, Lord, that your spirit would move mightily through this room in the hearts of every man. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look around the world tonight, we see many things taking place that are extremely disturbing. We see the increase of violence upon the earth in the form of terrorism like we've never seen before. We see racial tensions escalating and a backlash and response in the form of riots and civil unrest. We observe an agenda to do away with marriage as God intended it to be. We read of our school systems continuing to rewrite our history books and remove the foundation of biblical principles on which our country was established. We see a lack of leadership in our own country at the highest level. We see the rise of false religious systems leading people astray. And sadly, we even see in churches people turning away from the Bible and embracing false doctrine. All of these things and more could easily cause someone to be overwhelmed with anxiety. However, the things that we're seeing right now are the very things that Jesus told us would take place in the last days. You remember Jesus said unto his disciples in John chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Perhaps there is a man here tonight, and you've come into the sanctuary and you are worried and you are anxious about your life. And maybe for some of you, it took everything within you to come tonight, but you knew there was going to be chicken and you knew, and therefore you came. And the reason you're here is more than for a meal. Friend, you are here because God has a word for you. You're not here by accident tonight. I believe we have prayed for you before you have arrived, and God is going to speak to you tonight. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, we have what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount was a message that Jesus gave to his followers, to his disciples. And it's through this sermon that Jesus revealed how it was that his disciples were to live their lives in this world. And in this portion of the sermon, Jesus talks about worry. Worry is mental anxiety or stress. It is to feel or cause to feel troubled over actual or potential difficulties. Worry can suggest fretting over matters that may or may not be a real cause for anxiety. And worry occurs when you are so concerned about the problems of life that you can think of nothing else. It can become crippling. It can become all-consuming. There's a sense of uncertainty and fear. And I want to begin tonight by considering a few things with you. First of all, what is the cause of this worry and some of the things that it actually stems from? In order to understand that, I believe you would have to go back a few verses in this chapter to discover the answer. And so if you look back at verse 19, first of all, I want to point out to you as it relates to the cause of worry, listen carefully, is misplaced affections. Look at what it says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor thieves do not break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. Jesus here exhorts his disciples not to lay up treasures here on this earth, because eventually they will come to nothing. In ancient times, much like today, wealth was observable by what a person wore or the things that they owned. But Jesus said, if a thief doesn't get it, then a moth will. No matter what you have, no matter what we own, at some point, it will quit working the way you want it to. Our physical bodies will one day fail us. In fact, every earthly treasure is subject to decay. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having possessions as long as they do not possess you or become idols that you worship. But so often, if all that we treasure is that which is temporary and that which we have in this life, we can become easily worried and troubled about many things, and it can consume your thoughts. Think of an example. Do you remember Solomon? The wealthiest man that ever lived. He had everything that the world could afford, and he was greatly worried over all that he had amassed and the fact that he was going to have to leave it behind. And he said, everything's vanity. It's just emptiness. It's meaningless. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find his worries clearly recorded there. He had misplaced affections. You remember when Jesus was approached by the rich young ruler? Came to him and said, good teacher, what must I do in order to inherit eternal life? What good work can I do? And you remember Jesus told him the commandments, and he said, oh, I've kept all of them from my youth. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and then come follow me and you have treasure in heaven. But the Bible says, speaks of a great refusal that day because a man had misplaced affections and he walked away from Jesus. He had the answer right in front of him, but because he had so many things that had a grip on his heart, he wasn't willing to part with his God. And therefore he walked away empty. Now the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. Gentlemen, do you have misplaced affections tonight? Perhaps that is the reason that you are worried and anxious. You know, there is a great eternal retirement plan. The Bible speaks of it. Government can't touch it. Here's what it says. In 1 Peter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. What a great retirement plan that is. It's eternal. And thus we lay up our treasures in heaven. We don't have misplaced affections. But another cause of worry is misplaced attention. Look at verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The lamp that Jesus refers to here, being the eye, is the lens of the body. What we look at, what we focus our attention upon with our eyes, in turn, goes into the mind and then makes its way into the heart and then makes its way out into our actions and our conversation. If my attention is set solely upon that which is temporary, and it will affect me in one of two ways, either negative or positive. If my eyes are fixed on that which is evil, that which is troubled, that which is discouraging and carnal and sinful, listen, that's going to affect me in a negative way, and I will become anxious and worried. Listen, I know there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and I'm not saying we need to not be aware of what's happening, but make sure you're balanced in your approach. I know people that they will get into their car and they turn on the news, and then they listen to the news all the way to work, and they just get so angry. And then they sit at the office and they're watching the ticker tape over their computer about how angry they are, and look at, oh, I can't believe it. And then they get back in the car and they commute home. And then they listen to it all the way home. And then they sit down, and after they eat dinner, they sit there. Oh, can you believe this? And it's just, then they go to bed like that. And they start the day over. They are very negative people. And they have misplaced attention. Listen, guys, listen carefully. As men, we need to focus our attention on the author and finisher of our faith. We need to get our eyes on Jesus, guys. We need to filter everything that we're seeing right now through the scriptures, through the word of God. You remember when Jesus, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, went over to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He was going to have lunch over there, and he brought his disciples. Surprise, here we are. And Martha was so frustrated, and she started cooking and trying to whip something up for all these guys. And remember Mary, her sister, was sitting at the feet of Jesus? And the Bible says she was so angry that she told the Lord, Lord, can you tell my sister to get in here and help me? Start telling Jesus what to do. It's not a good thing. And you remember what happened? Jesus said, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. This isn't the only thing you're worried and troubled about, Martha. You're troubled about a lot of things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken from her. You see, Martha had misplaced attention. She was so caught up in what she was doing that she lost sight of just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Guys, start your day in the presence of the Lord. End your day in the presence of the Lord. And understand that throughout the day, you're in the presence of the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world, guys. So often, this is how we can become. If we have misplaced attention, when we should have Jesus in view, we see everything else. And if we're not careful, we can become worried and anxious. And then we don't start thinking rationally. We start thinking irrationally or emotionally or dramatically. You remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples in Mark's gospel and a storm came up? And the disciples, you remember, they woke Jesus up and they said to the Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? Think about that. They said they're doubting the care of the Lord because they're in the midst of the storm. It's all that they can see. They forgot the one who commands the winds and the waves is right there in the boat. Misplaced attention can cause worry. But also I find here in this passage that misplaced allegiance can cause you to be anxious and worried. For in verse 24, Jesus makes it very clear. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In the context, remember, Jesus continues to emphasize those that are caught up in the temporal, those that are caught up in all that is material, they have a divided heart. But Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. Many people try, but it's impossible. You can't have divided allegiance. There are those, even in the church today, who are trying to serve the Lord and at the same time trying to live a life after the flesh, a double life, a hypocritical life. And it's a miserable existence because you know too much. You know too much to live in darkness. You've been exposed to too much light. There's no place for you in darkness. And so if you begin to have this misplaced allegiance, try to be in the Lord and try to be in the world at the same time, quoting Bible verses, you know, on your status, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you post a picture of you and your buddies in Vegas, you know, throwing them back. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. The guys do it all the time. Misplaced allegiance. Listen, gentlemen, the Bible makes it very clear that we need to decide who it is that we're going to follow. Hear me on this, please. In light of the days in which we are living right now, this is not the time to be messing around with sin. It's not the time. It's not the time to live carnal. It's the time to live holy lives before the Lord, to be a pure bride looking for the return of Jesus Christ. I believe he is coming sooner than we think, that our redemption is nearer than when we first believe, guys. We need to heed the words of the prophet Elijah when he said, "How long are you going to falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." Joshua says, "If it seems good to you or evil to you to serve the Lord, well, choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve, whether the gods your fathers served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Every man in this room tonight, we have to be able to say that. We have to be able to decide who it is we're going to serve. We're either going to serve Jesus with every fiber of our being, and we're going to run and press on until he comes again, or we're just going to cave in and just forget it. Listen, we got to make a decision. There's probably guys here tonight. Maybe you've been coming to the Bible study the whole time. You've been doing your homework faithfully, showing up early, answering questions, and you got misplaced allegiance. And the Lord knows it. And if you're married, your wife knows it. And if she knows it, not long before other people know it. You listen, it's time to make a decision. Who are you going to follow? Sometimes these things are the cause of worry. Misplaced affection, guys. Our affection should be set on Jesus. Misplaced attention. So diverted from what is the main thing. And also, misplaced allegiance can be the cause of anxiety. But Jesus gives us here a remedy, an antidote for worship, or for worry rather. And Jesus, you remember, he calls himself the great physician. So why shouldn't I worry? Guys, make a note of these things. Hopefully they'll encourage you if you have an anxious mind tonight. First of all, make note of this. You're not supposed to worry because it's a command from Jesus. It says very clearly in verse 25, "I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Notice, this isn't a suggestion from Jesus. Hey, if you don't have to worry. If you want to, it's up to you. It's a command. It's an order from the king, from the captain of our salvation, saying, do not do it. Do not worry. Literally, it means take no anxious thought. Take those anxious thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. When the flesh, when circumstances, when the enemy incites fear or anxiety, take it back to the word of God. What did Jesus say? What are the promises that are found in God that are yes and amen? Take hold of those. Combat the lies with the truth. And that's how you'll be able to overcome. The Bible says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. We are not to worry, gentlemen, because it's a command from the Lord. Now listen, I'm like any other man. There are days when I have to battle it. I've got to fight it. It's weird. It's like a wave that just comes over your mind, and it's you sense it, and you can. It's spiritual. And if you've been in the spiritual battle long enough, you know this. Okay, this isn't the Lord, because the Lord wouldn't be saying that to me right now. The Lord wouldn't want this for me right now. I know Jesus better than that. This is of the enemy. Listen, if you and your wife get into a situation where there's just tension and anxiety, and sometimes it centers around finances and Christmas and how are we going to, and what about the, and all of these things, just say, babe, let's stop. Let's pray. Take my hands. You know, blow her away. Take her hands and say, I'm actually going to pray out loud. Oh my goodness, the Spirit of God is moving in this house. And just do it, man. Bring Jesus into the situation. Makes such a difference. We're not to worry. It's a command. The question is, am I going to be obedient when my Savior gives me the command? But another reason why we ought not to worry, life is more than the material. Did you know that? Life is more than the material. Jesus said, is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? It is a question that Jesus asks. Isn't your life more than these things? And our response should be, yes, Lord, it is more. Life is far more than the material. It's far more than what we can see just with a physical eye. It's far more than that. Listen, we don't look at the things, Paul said, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, guys, they are eternal. God grant us a greater vision and clarity of sight to see the unseen things that are important, the things that are eternal, the things that are lasting, that don't fade away. You remember Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes because the material is so tangible, we can easily forget that there is an eternal. You remember Paul said concerning his own life, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Remember, he talks about and gave himself for me. Guys, life is far more than the material. Listen, it's okay to take care of what you have, but keep a light touch on your stuff because you can't take it with you. It's going to fade. It's going to go. Your sweet ride out in the parking lot right now, it's undergoing the second law of thermodynamics. It is falling apart as we speak. Don't get up and run out. It's actually happening. But don't worry about it. You're not going to need a car in heaven, man. You're going to be flying around. Another reason why we ought not to worry, number three, is that you are, and this, guys, if you don't hear anything I said tonight, listen to this very carefully. Why am I not supposed to worry? Check this out. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. Jesus says here, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? What Jesus is doing here, he's looking at nature and he's saying, hey, why don't you go out and look at some birds next time you're worrying and just see if they're fretting. If a bird could talk, and they don't, but if they did, would they be fretting and, oh my goodness, where are we going to get the, oh man, we can't get the, where's my nest? No, they're not fretting. The Lord's taking care of. I don't even know if that's what a bird sounds like. I'm just assuming it's a high voice. I don't know. But nonetheless, the point being, he's looking at creation. The creation, the Bible says, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen through God's creation so that man is without excuse. David, he looked at creation and he said, man, he looked at the heavens and how they declare the glory of the Lord. And he said, I look up at all that you've made. And remember what he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would even think about him? David was so overwhelmed with the fact that in all that God created, he actually considered him and loved him. And what Jesus is doing here, gentlemen, is he is reasoning from the lesser to the greater. In other words, if God takes care of the birds, the lesser, is he not going to take care of the height of his creation, which is you? Absolutely. Yes, he will, because you are valuable to God. You value the things that you love. God loved you so much. He loved me so much that he sent his son to go to the cross and die for me. And if God handled the biggest problem that I will ever have in my life, which is how am I going to get to heaven? Don't you know that he can handle the water bill and all the rest of these things that can so easily overwhelm us? Guys, you're loved by God. The Bible tells us in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his own son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. How many of you are dads here tonight? Raise your hand. All right, a lot of fathers in here. I'm sure there's not a dad in here tonight that would say, I don't love my kids. Every single man in here who has a son or a daughter, you love your children with everything that's in you. You do anything for them. You love them. You provide for them because you love them. You're their father. And you know something? The Bible says we're children of God and we have a father. And our father loves us far more than we love our own children. You think about all the love you have for your kids. And then you try to multiply that over and over by the love that God has for you tonight. That's how he feels about you. He loves you. Bible says he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he with him now not freely give us all things? If only you knew tonight how much God loves you, you wouldn't worry about it because of how much he cares. May the Spirit of God shed abroad in our hearts tonight just a fresh revelation of the love of God That's what Christmas is about, guys. It's about the love of God. And if you doubt his love, do yourself a favor and look back at the cross and doubt no more. The cross is the definitive example of God's love. There is nothing that he could do to prove that he loves you more than what he did there at Calvary. Fourthly, the reason why you're not to worry, this is really important. It won't change anything. I just want to get that out there. It won't change anything. Jesus told us that. For in verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? That means, how tall are you going to get if you worry? Listen, I've worried a lot. I am still this height. I would be in the NBA right now if you could add cubits to your stature by worrying. But Jesus said it's not going to change anything. It's not going to do anything by worrying about it. You remember the psalmist said, do not fret, it only causes harm. You're not going to grow physically, and check this out, you're also not going to grow spiritually. It just quenches the work of the Spirit. You're just so inward and so anxious, no longer looking upward. It won't change anything. What are you worried about tonight? What are you concerned about? Do you think that if you worry about it more, you know, I think if I spend a little more time worrying about this, I think something's going to change. I really feel good about this. No, you don't. Nothing's going to change. Pray about it. The Bible says pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Have you brought the Lord into it? Sometimes as guys, I mean, let's be honest. We want to pull ourselves out of it. Listen, I got this. Famous last words of men, I got this. You ever said that and then didn't have it? When you thought you had it, that's the worst. Here's what I know. I don't have it. But Jesus does. And I know him. And I know he loves me. And I know by me worrying about it, it's not going to change anything. So I just, you know what, Lord? It's yours. I can't change their problem. I can't bring my son back to you. I can't bring my wife back to church with me. I can't do it. Lord, I surrender. And you know something, guys? I think so often that's what God wants from us. He wants us to get to the place where we just, I can't do it. I can't. For some of us, it takes a while to get to that place where we just say, Lord, my hands are surrendered. I have nothing. I can't do it. I need you. But guys, when we get to that place, when we come to the end of us, man, that's when God just steps in and shows up big on our behalf. Here, he's looking for a man whose heart is loyal toward him. Just a man. That's all he's looking for, just a man whose heart is loyal to him so he can show himself strong on his behalf. You're that man tonight. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf to do what you and I are incapable of doing. It's outside of our hands, so let's keep it there. Let's cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. And let him do what only he's capable of doing. Listen, if he flung the universe into existence and he holds it all together right now, he can handle it. And the Lord would say to us, I got this. Yes, you do, Lord. You got it. We're almost through. Another reason why we're not to worry, and this is, probably understand this already, but it's a great enemy of our faith. It's a great enemy of our faith. Jesus said to his disciples, oh, you of little faith. Worry is the great enemy of faith. The Bible declares without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if the enemy can get us to worry, get us to fear, and doubt, you know what happens? We'll never step out in faith. I'm too afraid. You know, I was thinking about serving at the church, but I'm not gonna. Why? I don't know. How long have you been going there? 20 years. Listen, man, time to get out the boat. My pastor used to always say, you show me a man that's never gotten out of the boat and gotten wet, I'll show you that man, he's never done anything for the kingdom of God. The Lord knows, guys. And so often, if the enemy can get us to this place of worrying, then we never step out in faith. Faith believes in the promises of God and trusts in them, where worry doubts the promises of God. Listen to this. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you stand by faith. It says to abide in faith. It says we're saved by faith. It says we walk by faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world. Your faith. That's why the enemy attacks it consistently. Why do you suppose? And you're going to get there in Ephesians. It's coming up. You get to the armor. Oh man, what does he say? Above all, take up the shield of faith. Above everything? Above all. Why? Because that is exactly what the enemy wants to attack, the faith of men to trust God and to go forward in their walk with him. When we doubt the Lord, it can be an indication of our lack of faith. Faith and worry are mutually exclusive terms. Look back. If you're doubting tonight, listen, look back at your life and be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Look back, like the nation of Israel, at those stones of remembrance that were set up when you crossed over the Jordan and that were in the midst of the Jordan. And all of these things that God has done in your life up to this very moment. Do you have that, men? Can you look back and say, I remember in 1980 when I got saved, or I remember and how God provided. And you know something? Just last week, God, in fact, today, the Lord, guys, don't lose sight of those markers. Those are constant reminders. I don't live in the past, but I can look back and see the past faithfulness of God. And the past faithfulness of God demands my present trust in him. He's been faithful. He's always faithful. Even when I'm faithless, the Bible says he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. I'm not to worry. It's a command from Jesus. Life is more than the material. I'm loved by God. It's not going to change anything. It's an enemy of our faith. And finally, the reason why you ought not to worry, guys, is because God knows what we need. Did you know that? It says right here in verse 31, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. He knows we have need of all these things. The Bible says he knows the things we have need of even before we ask. Now listen, he knows what we need. We might think, I really need that. And the Lord would say, nah, you don't need that. That would be really bad for you. Oh Lord, I need this. No, you don't know what you ask. You don't understand what you're asking for. You don't realize. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you everything you ask for? You walk with the Lord a little bit and you realize, you know, Lord, I'm really glad you didn't answer that one. That could have been bad. Thank you, Jesus. You remember when John and James, their mother, came to Jesus, got on her knees and said, Lord, please grant that my sons might sit on your right hand and your left hand in glory. Please, that was a prayer. What did Jesus say? He said, woman, you don't know what you ask. You don't know what you ask. And then he said to the disciples, James and John, are you guys ready to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Speaking of, yeah, we're ready. Guess who was at the foot of the cross? Their mother. And guess who was on either side of him when he came into his glory? Two men crucified. Could have been her boys. You don't know what you're asking. And if God's withholding it, then there's a reason. He's got something better for you. He knows the things we need even before we ask. And you might have been praying for something. Maybe you're a single guy here, and you've been praying, Lord, where is she? Father, I think that's her. No, that's definitely not her. Maybe that's her. Oh, no, that's not her. And you're looking around. Stop looking around. Look up. Lord, you know, Adam was asleep, by the way, just rest in the Lord, bro. Just rest. God will bring her. All things beautiful in his time. Wait for it. Just think if Adam would have went out before God's timing, would have ended up with a primate. Would have been bad. Instead of a helpmate. You want a helpmate, not a primate. So anyhow, the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Guys, we know what the causes are of worry. We're all prone to it. We're human. Jesus was saying these words, remember, to his disciples who were physically walking with him. He knew what they were struggling with, even at that moment. But finally, I want to leave you with, what is the cure? What is the antidote for anxiety? How can I overcome these things when the enemy comes in like a flood? Lord, how do I raise up a standard against it, Lord? Look at verse 33, which really for me has become a life verse in my life. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word that is used here for seek is used in what is called the present imperative, which means that Jesus is saying the antidote for worry is to make a daily choice to prioritize God's kingdom and God's righteousness above everything else. That the first place in my life belongs to Jesus. It doesn't say seek second the kingdom of God. Seek third. Seek when it's convenient. Go twice a year. Check it out. No, it doesn't say that. It says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these other things. God's going to take care of it. If I'm not seeking Jesus first, then I'm going to be seeking something else. And what I'm seeking is not going to be able to do for me what Jesus alone can do for me. Thus, I must seek him first. Guys, live by this. Lord, I will seek you. The Lord said, when you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Get passionate about seeking God. Get passionate about seeking Jesus. The world, they seek after a kingdom that is temporary. But the kingdom of God is going to last forever. It'll never end. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. We sang it tonight. We need to seek that kingdom. And how do we seek it? You know this. Through prayer, through the study of God's word, through fellowship like this tonight with our brothers. Man, I'm so blessed by you guys. You could be home watching a lame stuff, but you're here. You are here, and you're with your brothers, and you're seeking the Lord. And now listen, you got a break, right? You got a break coming up. Don't let off the pedal, man. You do that lesson, you charge hard, you go after it. Don't be showing up here the day before, yeah, man, I forgot my, like we did in high school, some of us. You know, I don't know, what happened, my dog ate it. No, go for it, man. Go after it, keep pressing in, going hard. As you come into a new year, guys, I want to leave you with this. Be sure to set some spiritual goals for yourself. Here's one. Jesus, I want to love you more this year than I did last year. I just want to know you deeper than I did the year before. And guys, if we will seek him first, he's going to take care of us. Listen, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray specifically for the brothers in here. And you know who you are because the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. I want you to stand. If you are anxious, if you are troubled tonight, and you came in here with that, listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just roll that off. Cast our cares upon the Lord. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If that's you, you'd like to have that burden lifted tonight, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you tonight. Come on. All right. Go for it. Hey, nothing to be ashamed of. Every single one of us goes through that, man. All of us. There's going to be days like that when we're just overcome with it. And you know what's great? God knows every single situation here tonight. He knows everything that's going on. Every single man here, he knows what's going on. Anybody else tonight? You're like, man, I am anxious about this marriage. I don't know what to do. I am anxious over my whatever it is. Just, okay, Lord, it's on you. I'm coming to you with this. It's awesome, guys. And we're standing by faith and we're saying, okay, Lord, do it. Do it in me. The Bible says the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard the heart and the mind through Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Awesome, guys. Listen, the brothers that are seated around the brothers that are standing, or if you're standing next to a brother, all I want you to do is I want you to just put your hand on your brother next to you. We're going to pray for each other. This is called intercession. We're going to pray. Just if you're sitting, just stand up and lay your hands on your brother next to you, and we want to pray for you. This is what we do. This is the body. This is how we hold each other up, guys. We need each other. I'm going to pray right now. Let's just lift it up, and you guys just be interceding too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you know the things that we have need of. And Lord, every man tonight that stood to his feet by faith and said, Lord, I want to give this over to you. Lord, I pray in the realm of the Spirit, Lord, that the burden that they've been carrying right now would be dropped, would be lifted and replaced with a peace that surpasses their understanding. Lord, you said, I will give you a peace that the world can't give, whether it's financial, marital, whatever it is, health-wise. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, through the work of the Spirit of God, that you would just alleviate that burden and replace it with a trust and an assurance, even as your word says, the gift of faith to believe. Lord, you're going to bring me through. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I trust you. And you guys that stood tonight, just in your own heart, Lord, I trust you. Just to the Lord, I trust you and I give this over to you. I trust you and I give this over to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Love you guys. Thanks so much.